There's a lot to be thankful for on a Wednesday. Champs Wednesdays. Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. Thankful for Mike Soriano and helping us out and feeding us on a Champs Wednesday on ESPN 1430. A lot to be thankful for when it comes to this man, too. Chris Cohen of TechStyling.com joins us on ESPN 1430. And yeah, Chris Coleman's in the house. Christopher, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I actually just came from Champs, now that you mention it. Some talk about the BC game going on down there.
I'm sure. So what's on the menu for tomorrow for you, man? Well, I know you're going to do the big tailgate, so tell me what's on the menu.
Oh, man, some low country brawl, some clam chowder from Boston since we're playing BC, and, you know, some adult beverages as usual, and it's going to be a good time had by all.
Well, it'll be a good time also afterwards if the Hokies come out with a win. So let's talk about what it takes to get a win tomorrow. Let's start with when we'll leave the biggest question for last. That of course, is the question about Tyrod Taylor in the quarterback position. But let's talk about the other guys that actually are filling in tomorrow. Cody Graham starts for Cam Martin. Can Cody be as sharp as Brett Warren was in his first start?
I think that's going to be tough. You know, Cody, he's a guy, I think, you know, they're going to go after him in the run game because he's a little undersized, and they're going to go after him in the passing game because he's inexperienced. So he's going to be a major target for BC probably in their first drive. I expect them to see BC go right after him in the first drive. Now, I do think that Cam Martin is going to play the vast majority of the game. I think they're starting Cody Grimm because, you know, Cam, I think he probably missed Saturday and Sunday's practices, but he was back and got in most of Monday's practice. They're starting Cody because probably he had a little more preparation time than Cam Martin. But I think when push comes to shove, you're going to see Cam Martin getting the majority of reps there.
It would be asking a lot to have Cody Grimm to look as good as Brett Warren did on that Saturday against Duke in his first start. But now you have two young players at some point playing alongside Xavier Deeby when you talk about the linebackers tomorrow night playing against Boston College. How's that going to affect, maybe even so far as affecting Xavier playing tomorrow? Will he try to do too much? Give me an idea as far as Xavier being a senior and knowing well enough alone to say, you know what, these guys are out here for a reason. I'm going to let these guys play.
Yeah, I think he'll do that. I definitely think he has confidence in Brett Warren after playing next to him last week. You know, I think Xavier's been through the battles. He's going to be focused in on Andre Callender quite a bit because, you know, Callender's their primary running back, and he's a guy who's caught, I believe, 26 passes out of the backfield this year. So he's going to have his hands full worrying about his own responsibilities, I think.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you on ESPN 1430. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Cafe. Well, the man that those players play for is Bud Foster. Gets 2 weeks to prepare for Boston College. Well, you can say whatever you want as far as that Matt Ryan offense, their quarterback, Heisman Trophy, all that kind of stuff. But Bud Foster tomorrow night gets to show the nation once again what his defense is about. You give him 2 weeks to prepare, he should come out strong. What do you think Bud tries to do tomorrow night to slow down Matt Ryan and that offense?
Well, I think, first of all, they're just going to try to get pressure with the front four. I think Tech's front four has done an excellent job recently getting pressure. But you think about Boston College, they've only allowed, I believe, 6 sacks. All year. They're really tough in pass protection, but at the same time, I don't think they've gone against the defensive front like Virginia Tech. If they blitz, I think they'll blitz maybe off the boundary with Brandon Flowers and maybe a DB. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of blitzing from Tech, especially if they can get pressure early on.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you on ESPN 1430 on a Champs Wednesday. And Chris, the last time that the Hokie Nation was on in front of the nation, for the most part, was Clemson. But even before that was week two at Baton Rouge against LSU. Didn't fare well, didn't have a good showing. Is that maybe in the back of their mind thinking, you know what, this is another opportunity for us to show everybody that we really are that worthy of the context of being the stingiest defense in the nation?
I think they definitely recognize there's a big opportunity here. They realize what kind of stage they're on. I mean, this is ESPN Thursday Night Football. It's going to be the only football game on Thursday night. You know, so any college football fan that wants to watch college football rather than the World Series is going to be tuned into this game, obviously. It's only the second game in the history of ESPN Thursday night games where it's been two top tens matched up against each other. I believe Louisville and Rutgers last year was the other. But, I mean, this is a big-time college football game with national implications, and they've got a chance to go out and show the college football world what they're made of.
How about that Boston College spread offense, pro-style offense? They might go 3 and 4 wide. We saw that against Clemson a couple of weeks back. And how do you think the Hokies will handle that, especially after having that exposure to it against Clemson?
I think they're going to handle it fine. Bud Foster always does well against offenses like this, these spread offenses. Obviously, we've seen it the last 2 years against Clemson. You bring up a good point. They're fairly similar offenses, with, you know, the exception that Matt Ryan's going to be a first-round draft pick next year. I think Clemson actually has more talent at the skill positions, but BC has a better offensive line, especially when it comes to pass protection, and obviously more experienced quarterback, although Colin Harper, I think, is very good down there for Clemson. But, you know, BC is the more efficient team on offense, but at the same time, a lot of the things you saw from Clemson earlier in the year, you're going to see from BC tomorrow night.
Len Martinez and Chris Coleman of TextileLine.com joining you on a Wednesday afternoon on a Champs Wednesday on ESPN 1430. Let's talk about the running game. Let's talk about the other side. Let's talk about the offense. Running game, non-existent. So what's its role tomorrow night against the number one rated team, against the run in the nation? You know we had problems. Well, I shouldn't say we. I got a mouse in my pocket now. We. The Hokies had a problem running the ball against William & Mary, let alone Duke and everyone else. So the running game has been non-existent. To me, it's like multiplying by zero. You're not going to get much out of it anyway. It's just a matter of having balance. What's the role for the running game tomorrow, especially having the offensive line together after the bye week the way they want it?
Well, I don't think you need to line up and try to pound it at Boston College, because I don't think you're going to have a lot of success there. I think they should run it a lot out of the shotgun formation and out of passing formations, maybe to take BC by surprise in that. Like I said, I don't think they're gonna line up in traditional I formation sets and pound the ball on BC, because nobody else has done that this year.
That's a good point. I was thinking that's also an option where you might actually spread them out a little bit and mm-hmm. also run off of that spread where you might actually create some lanes. The only problem is that the type of running backs you have on this team that can actually get outside and not run in between the tackles.
Well, Kenny Lewis is a guy who needs space to be effective. We saw that against Ohio, and we saw that against William & Mary when he was able to break into the open field. So he's a guy that I don't think would be effective running between the tackles against him. But, you know, out of a shotgun formation, you know, some misdirections, I think he can be effective. But, you know, overall, you know, I don't think Tech's going to have much of a running game against Boston College. But if they can just do enough to keep them honest, that could be big in the outcome of the game.
All right, let's get to the biggest question. Sit or play Tyrod? The thing that I question is, if you're going to play the guy, you would play him if your hands were forced and you didn't have an experienced option. You have an experienced option in Sean Glennon. So what do you say about playing Tyrod tomorrow night?
I think you might as well go ahead and play Glennon at this point, because if Tyrod's not going to be 100% to use his legs, you know, he's obviously not as advanced in the passing game as Sean Glennon. And you don't want a stationary target back there that, you know, doesn't know where to go with the football. With Sean Glennon, you've got a somewhat stationary target back there, but at least he knows where to go with the football. You know, so I think you're going to see Sean Glennon tomorrow night, you know, if my gut feeling. I think you could possibly see both of them. I think you could see Tyrod at some point just to throw BC off. Plus, you factor in it might be a little slippery out there, and do you want him out there on a less than 100% ankle and possibly some wet weather?
My only issue, if you play both guys, and we're talking to Chris Coleman of TextSideline.com on a Wednesday afternoon, my only issue with playing both of them is you have a guy that's not nursing a sore finger or sore arm, upper body injury. He's nursing an injury to the lower portion of his body, and that stiffens up, especially in damp, wet weather. Ankle injury. Do you want to take a guy out of the game after getting him loose and getting that adrenaline flowing? That's my only issue by playing both guys.
Right, I hear you. You know, it's one of those things. It's a really tough call to make. I think Tech's going to go with Sean Glennon to start this game. And if they get off to a good start, then they'll leave him in. But if something happens and the Hokies fall behind and the offense just isn't moving the ball, then I think there's a chance they could try Tyrod just to give the offense a spark.
Should back-to-back Thursday night games, having a short week next week, factor in at all in playing Tyrod?
I don't think so, because, you know, in this business, especially with Tech's last five games on their schedule, you've got to take it one game at a time right now. I mean, you've got the number two team in the country coming in here, and you've got a chance to beat them on your home field and put yourself at the top of the ACC and move up in the top 10 even further than you already are. So I don't think nothing about the Georgia Tech game should be even even on their minds right now.
We talk about it, and we're talking to Chris Coleman at TexasIsland.com. And Chris, you and I have talked about it. We just spoke about it as far as Sean being more comfortable, the coaching staff being more comfortable with him passing the football. You're playing against a team that stops the run as well as it does, better than anyone in the nation statistically. When you do that, and you have a quarterback like Tyrod that you're not allowing to throw the football like you are allowing Sean Glennon, shouldn't the fact that passing the ball could be a better option tomorrow night be the reason why you play Sean?
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, you think back, Tech hasn't been able to run the ball on anybody this year. And with Tyrod Taylor less than 100%, you're likely not to have much success in the running game tomorrow night. So, you know, you might as well become a pass-first offense at this point, for the most part, and just run off the pass, try to use the pass to set up the run. We'll see if the Hokies go in that direction. I still think they're going to be very conservative offensively for the most part. I think they should come out and be aggressive on first downs and try to get ahead of the chains, because if you get behind the chains with Tech's limitations on offense, you're not going to do very well behind the chains, especially when you're playing a defense like BC. So I think Tech could come out and be aggressive on first downs, but overall, I think they'll stick to the game plan they normally do. Be conservative, try to win the field position game, and get big plays out of the special teams and defense.
Give me your prediction. You've been pretty solid the most of the year, actually all of the year. Give me your prediction.
I like Tech to win the game. I think Tech has more talent at the skill position than Boston College. I think Tech has a better defense than Boston College. I think the Hokies are going to shut down BC's running game and force the Eagles to be one-dimensional, and one-dimensional teams always lose to Bud Foster's defense.
All right, Christopher, thanks for your time, and enjoy the game tomorrow night, brother. We'll talk soon, brother.
Sounds good. Enjoy it.
All right. Len Martez here with you, Chris Coleman, TexasIsland.com. All the information you want to know as far as that game tomorrow night. He's full of it. He's full of it. And I mean full of information. On a Wednesday afternoon, Chris Coleman, thanks for your work, son. We got to be right back on ESPN 1430, Len Martez Show on ESPN 1430.